Today, I am joined by Lauren Trepsey, Clinical Trials Team Leader for Women's Health Research at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital NHS Foundation Trust. We're talking about how cutting-edge research is shaping women's healthcare, particularly in pregnancy and fertility. And Lauren, you're involved in a number of important studies, including the National PANDA and UNITY trials. Can you give us a brief overview of the PANDA study and why it's so important?
Yeah, of course. So the PANDA trial is sponsored by the NHS Transfusion Bank. So basically people that have a specialist interest in low iron, blood transfusions. And this study is so important because we don't realise what having a low iron reserve actually means to pregnancies. A lot of women will say, oh, I feel a bit dizzy, I feel quite tired. But actually, low iron can impact how the pregnancy continues, your baby's birth weight, and also pregnancy loss and preterm birth. So this study is really important to try and prevent anemia rather than just to treat it. It's a more proactive approach.
So if the results for this trial are positive, do you think this could drastically change how we treat pregnant women across the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would bring more evidence to the discussions with women rather than us saying you need to look after your iron for this reason with no real evidence. It's like, actually, the statistics say, please, can you take a small dose of iron in every morning to prevent you becoming anemic due to these reasons? Because a lot of things that women get told, they're just told because that's the way it is rather than actually why they should be doing it.
Amazing. And you're also involved in the UNITY trial. What are the key differences between RUI and IVF, just for the listeners? And what is the study aiming to discover?
So for the listeners, more people would know about IVF, which is the in vitro fertilization, where women have egg collection done, sperm samples are taken, and then the embryo is made within the lab and transplanted back into the woman's womb. IUI is a bit different. It's using the woman's own cycle, whether that's stimulated with drugs or just a normal cycle to ovulate. And then we're putting the sperm back into the womb for the conception to happen within the body, basically. And I would say another thing is the IUI is actually not as invasive. You're not using so many drugs, going through so many different procedures. And also IUI probably costs about a third of the cost of IVF. So that's a huge difference as well.
And the study has been running since January 2025, I believe. Have there been any early insights or surprising findings so far?
So we opened January 2025. I would say we don't have anything concrete at the moment as to what we think is better. It's nationwide. I think the most surprising thing as a clinician for me is that unexplained infertility affects so many different people. It's not just one demographic. The people that I'm speaking to and their stories they're telling me and their journeys, they're not all the same. There's similarities, but actually it's such a widespread issue that really needs more research.
And could you just expand a bit more on how this study aims to improve fertility care and decision making for couples who are struggling to conceive?
So the study's looking at sort of the cost effectiveness as well as the clinical effectiveness of one round of IVF versus three rounds of IUI, because actually cost-wise they're very similar. But there's not as many risks with the IUI as there could be with the IVF. And also they have different risk factors. So really, it's looking at what happens for the patients, how quickly they conceive, pregnancies that go to term, things like that, but also the cost. Because if they can find that IUI works well in a certain demographic, it could lower the costs of fertility treatment, which might mean that there's better funding for fertility treatment across the board, because not everyone's just going straight to the expensive option.
And for couples who might be listening, how can they get involved in the UNITY study and what kind of criteria would they need to meet?
So the UNITY study is couples that are unexplained infertility, which a study in 2019 found that's actually one third of couples that do go for IVF. So it's a large amount of people. We're looking for people that are, the women are under the age of 40. It doesn't matter so much for their male partner. We're looking for people that have unexplained infertility. So these are people that don't have any disease of the tubes. Nothing has been found and their clinicians just can't tell them why, basically. And if they do want to get involved, the easiest thing to do, if they're not at Chelsea and Westminster, if they're not, that's not where they're having their sort of treatment there, or at the West Middlesex site, you can Google the UNITY fertility study. Best thing to do is UNITY Fertility Birmingham. It will come up as the University of Birmingham are running this trial and they'll be able to direct them to their nearest site.
Amazing. And Are there any other ongoing or upcoming clinical trials in women's health at your trust that you want to raise awareness of?
So we're always looking for new and innovative trials. We deliver so much different research. And at the moment, we've got looking at monitoring of diabetes in type 2 diabetic patients in pregnancy that's going really well. That's the PROTECT trial. So it's looking at the evidence around the continuous glucose monitors for these women so they don't have to prick their fingers multiple times a day. We've got another study called the Generation Study, which is from Genomics England, which screens for over 200 rare but treatable diseases in newborns. The idea is that if a child does have a genetic condition that's rare but treatable, they can get their treatment sooner. And I would say one that we're really excited about that is on its way is a study called EPIC-2, which should be coming in January. It's the first non-hormonal drug trial for endometriosis in over 40 years. And that's coming from the University of Edinburgh. So we're very excited for that to open in the new year.
Incredible. And there can sometimes be hesitation around taking part in clinical research. How would you encourage awareness and participation in trials such as these?
I think it's just about having an open and organic conversation, because I think a lot of people think, oh, research isn't for me, or they have misconceptions. Sometimes when we approach people for research, it can be as small as, do you mind filling in this survey? It's not all drug trials, vaccine trials, or anything scary. So I think if we approach it in a really organic, open, normal way and meet people where they are. Not everyone wants to know some sort of chemical formula. They want to know in real world terms what this means for them, their health and their baby if it's a pregnancy related trial.
That was kind of the end of my prepared questions, but is there anything else you'd want to add or anything I might have missed?
So what I would say is research really does have a real world impact. I'm trained as a midwife, so I've been a midwife for nearly 10 years now, 5 years at the trust, and I've actually seen people in trials go on to have babies they never thought they would have. And there's something really powerful about following someone through from before conception to conception, then at their birth, so seeing what they wanted actually come to fruition through people investing in new innovations. So I would just want to say people shouldn't be worried about discussing research. Wherever you go, wherever your hospital appointments are, ask, is there any research? If there's a dedicated team, they're not frightening. They will come and speak to you where you are. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Brilliant. Well, it's been really interesting talking to you today, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you'd like to find out more about these studies or participate, you can head to the Chelsea and Westminster Hospitals website.
Thank you.